It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Education is constantly evolving and has come a long way since the days of the new math and slide rules making way for calculators in chemistry classes. This Week in Pittsburgh is dedicated to Remake Learning Days. Remake Learning is the latest trend in education, emphasizing digital learning, creativity, and innovation. How has Pittsburgh become a leader in this movement? I'm joined now in studio by Ann Sekula. She's director of the Remake Learning Council. Ann Sekula, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thanks for having me.
If there are questions you have about Remake Learning, what it is, how it works, where it came from, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Ann Sekula, a lot of our listeners are just hearing about this for the first time. Where did the idea for Remake Learning come from?
Sure. So about a decade ago, a group of leaders in education, we're just having coffee conversations saying, you know, we really are having a hard time connecting with our kids. And it wasn't that typical generational gap of I can't, you know, understand the youth today. These were people that were really, quite good in their fields and in connecting with kids. They said it's really something very different. And it has to do with the technological shifts that we're in, the types of information and things that kids were engaging in out of school. But they just weren't getting those kind of experiences in the regular classrooms. And so so the idea really came out of, like, what do we have to do to really engage youth in a very, very different time in space and education? And so in really pulling together what were the strengths of our region and the strengths of our community, we looked at, it's a great place to raise a family. It's a great place. We have lots of cultural institutions doing amazing work in community settings. We have an incredible early childhood community with leaders such as Fred Rogers and being the birthplace of Fred Rogers, who was a leading innovator of his time in harnessing television to reach kids in a different way, and also the innovation that's happening in our digital spaces. Technologists out of Carnegie Mellon University being worldwide leaders in what is the future of work, the future of our lives, of beginning to put these people together to say, how do we reach kids better? And so what started out as coffee conversations 10 years ago has evolved into a network of artists, educators, innovators, technologists that have amassed to over 2,500 individuals that are members of our network, 250 schools, organizations, institutions across the region into West Virginia that are part of the Remake Learning Network.
And how much of this, we've talked about this on the show before, about how technology has essentially rewired the brains of young people. And technology gets into the hands of a young person at what age? 5, 6,
oh,
7?
Oh, earlier.
Even earlier? Are you a mom?
I am.
You are?
Yeah. I have a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And we're living Minecraft world now.
Okay. So, all right. So, exactly. So, has that done something to the way kids just engage with the world that requires a different approach to education? Is that what this is?
Yeah, I mean, we really think so. That we think, what is a concern about screen time that we have as parents? Oh, don't let your children have more than, you know, whatever is the current amount of time of watching television. Or,
well, we had that when I was a kid.
Right, when we were kids. But, you know, when you think about television at that time, it wasn't that educational, right? We watched Happy Day reruns and whatever you got on the 3 channels that you had. There wasn't that much to even watch.
It depends on what you were watching.
Yeah, but the point is, it still depends on what you're doing with screen time. Mm-hmm. So it can either be wasted time or just downtime that everybody enjoys, or it can actually be harnessed for educational purposes. We think about Khan Academy. Khan Academy is providing, you know, high quality free SAT preparation courses among, 1,000 other things. And so learning can take place anywhere, any place, and any time now because of how technology has shifted. And so kids have been a part of this in finding resources and information that have outpaced where education's caught up.
And so how is Pittsburgh at the forefront of this movie? You mentioned that what we have access to here. This is, you know, when you really dig down deep, and or I guess maybe you don't even have to go that deep, you can see that Pittsburgh is a place that is has all sorts of different innovators and great minds. It's a very creative city. Mm-hmm. So is it about tapping into that, and how much is Pittsburgh at the forefront of this?
Sure. And it's all about tapping into that and making those connections and partnerships. So the network is truly a network. When you think about a network, it's having somebody you can call up and say, hey, can you help me out with this thing I'm having challenges on in my classroom? Or a technologist who's saying, I'm developing this new ed tech app, but I don't really know how it works on kids. Wouldn't it be great to try it out? So the network over the past 10 years have brought those kind of partnerships and collaborations together, provided a lot of small-scale seed money to make those happen and encourage those connections to happen, convened people to come together and say, I have an idea and I'm trying something out, and, oh, you have something similar that you can provide. So it was making the connections with the on-the-ground educators, with some, you know, those who were really innovating and creative in their own rights to help solve some of those modern-day problems. It's the same kind of skills and resources we want to instill with children and youth today as well, of being the problem solvers of their time. So what we have really created with the network is just the place and space and the coordinated effort to allow those kind of relationships to flourish.
And who or where else besides Pittsburgh is this happening?
Well, I think that we, you know, what is wonderful about Pittsburgh is we harnessed our resources very intentionally. We're a community that's pretty connected in many ways, though we have some challenges still, but that we're easy to navigate. You know, Pittsburgh's like a big small town in so many ways. And I think it's that in you know, has been one of our assets to allow this to really take hold so deeply. But we've been, as a network, have been getting lots of national recognition and attention for the past number of years, saying, you know, any educational conference we go to, they're saying, we want to do like what you're doing in Pittsburgh. How are you doing what you're doing in Pittsburgh? That these are not isolated efforts, that one, and you see these type of things happening all over the country, but there's so many times they're in isolation. And what we've done is created a really a network to, no matter what is the thing that you're trying to do differently in remaking learning, you can find someone else and find a peer to work with on that topic. And I think that's what's so special. So we've been, you know, often called to say, how do we replicate this in Atlanta? How do we replicate this in San Diego? And so a year ago, the Sprout Fund, who is the steward of the network, developed a Remake Learning playbook that was really categorized the key things that we've done to allow this to happen in our region, to share with others. But that continues to get other attention. We've had, and that was initially in a challenge from the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy and U.S. Department of Education to say, how can you share what you've done with others? So we answered that challenge. A year ago, we were down at another White House event on next generation high schools and reimagining what high school should look like in the future or now. And they gave us a similar challenge to say, could you organize a large scale event in your region to be basically what we're calling the world's largest open house on the future of learning that's taking place this week as Remake Learning Days. So we answered the other call from the White House to respond to that. So there's a lot of attention that we're getting all around the country for, you know, this incredible set of assets we pulled together.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Anne Sekula. She's director of the Remake Learning Council. We're talking about Remake Learning Days and what Remake Learning is. Mm-hmm. If you have a comment or question, want to join the conversation, 412-246-2002, the number to call. Email esspgh@wesa.fm. On Twitter @ESSPGH. Again, 412-246-2002. You know, when you were talking about remaking high school, reimagining what high school, you know, for those of us who, you know, used to sit in our classrooms when we were in high school and imagine, you know, how we might do things differently. So what kind of possibilities are we talking about here? How might the high school classroom look different from, say, the just the normal setting of sitting at a desk? And, you know, there may be some, you know, a PowerPoint presentation, but generally you're being lectured to, you're taking notes, read these chapters, do your homework, come back tomorrow.
Well, I think it's, I think the point being, that doesn't look like what work looks like. So if you think about what work is like today in here at WESA, across the street at PNC Bank, wherever you go, it's very much a collaborative effort with lots of skill sets. Just about everyone in every field has to have some kind of technology literacy, if not fluency, to it. So again, here at ESA, where a lot of communication skills going on, a lot of technology involved in this work. And in fact, the Allegheny Conference on Community Development just released a report on May 4th called Inflection Point for Our Region that did a 10-year look at the kind of skills and jobs that were going to be available in our region. And digital fluency was a major part of that, but also what they call cross-cutting skills, which are sometimes people call them 21st century learning skills, but it's the ideas of creative problem solving, collaboration, communication.
Okay. Let me jump in because you, a couple times you've mentioned problem solving. Mm-hmm. So what is it about this day and age that requires maybe better problem solving skills? And what exactly are those skills?
Well, I think it's the point of automation of jobs, right? That the jobs of the future are not going to be what they have been, in that a lot of jobs are going to be automated. So what can't you automate? You can't automate problem solving and creative thinking. And so if you're going to be successful, if you're going to be marketable in the future or even today, you've got to be able to have a whole host of being able to address problems such as what's the drinking water challenges that we're going to have, and how do we bring in a lot of teamwork, a lot of different expertise to solve those type of problems. And so that's really where the focus of a lot of businesses are saying that that's the kind of employee that they need to have, as well as, just a general civic responsibility that we want to make sure that we're equipping our students with. And so I think when we talk about sitting in the desks and doing the traditional type of learning, kids often aren't getting those type of opportunities to do that in the rote memorization of standardized testing frameworks that has driven our education for the past 15 years.
You know, someone might say, I learned those three R's, as they're called.
Sure.
Reading, writing, arithmetic. They've learned them. That's called the old-fashioned way of learning, what you refer to, the rote memorization, head down at the desk. Someone might say, well, I learned that way, and now I'm a CEO at XYZ company. Why do I need this? Why do we need to reinvent learning for those who are going to fill my position?
Sure. And I think that there are those basic fundamental skills that all of us need to have, and that's not going to go away. But I think if we look at traditional education's been successful for a particular type of student and for particular types of jobs, all of those jobs are changing in ways. And we've also left out a lot of kids who don't learn well in a traditional disciplined framework. So if you think about
the generations that have left children behind.
Right. If
you're not could have contributed.
Yeah. If you're not the kid that can sit in your desk and really are good at memorization and rote skills, right, and raise your hand. So there's an equity framework to this as well. There's a framework of saying children with special needs who, may have a really incredible creative mind, but that creativity doesn't often get rewarded and out-of-the-box thinking doesn't often get rewarded in school, but it does in the workplace. And so those are some of the things that we're trying to raise up as, changes that we can make in our education systems.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Jane in Pittsburgh with a question for our guest, Ann Sekula. Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for taking my question. I've been aware of this movement, and my question is, there have been a lot of successful projects in the various schools and school districts, but what is being done to continue these projects after the funding for the initial project is used up?
Sure. So a lot of the funding that that we've provided through the Remake Learning Network have been small scale to encourage the collaboration, and encourage the educator to try something new, and to begin to incorporate it either through their out-of-school setting or into their classroom. And so a lot of those have stuck. I think where you get concerned is if you've given a very large grant out for bigger, large scale type of changes, but it requires that continued funding infusion, then you know those are something of concern. But you know the thing I think, Jane, that we would say is don't chase the money. Don't chase. I think one example that you see happening a lot in this network is the maker movement and schools going and getting grants to create maker spaces and 3D printers and bringing some of this technology into their classrooms.
Which in fact we're going to be talking about in our next segment.
Yep, great. And so you know it's a very it's a space. It has some technology to it. It has some cost to it. But if you're not as a school dedicated to that type of learning and really infusing it through how you reorganize your setting or your community space, then it's not going to continue. And I think that's the more of a concern about what gets sustained is really the practice being sustained and how you incorporate it into your everyday way of working.
Is this providing opportunities for students who will go into careers that don't require a four-year degree?
Sure. I think that's something, a new place that we're beginning to look at with the network. We have primarily focused K-12, but we really see that kids can develop some deep competencies, particularly when you think about the maker movement. One thing that we've talked about is make to manufacturing, and that earlier on, kids are getting access to being able to learn how to machine, and that's primarily been an after high school type of experience. So it's touching on the career technology career and tech ed space more so, and pushing down some of those skills to younger ages of students in a way that one of the elements that we talk about are digital badges. So trying to recognize and award skills that can be transferable into jobs or into higher education.
So you think this can spur a return to manufacturing and create jobs that way?
Yeah, I think in so many ways it's giving kids, it's a return to hands-on learning in a way that we haven't had. So you see a lot of school systems that got rid of their tech shops in the past couple of decades, bringing those tech shops back into their schools where you had a traditional, vo-technical student working alongside mm-hmm. a kid who may be going into an engineering program. But they're both working on the same type of projects and demonstrating their skills in similar ways, but in different ways as well.
We had some fun with this before the show, or talked about it at least a little mm-hmm. bit, and that is the famous 8th grade examination for Bullitt County Schools. This is an examination given to 8th graders in Kentucky in 1912. Okay, so this is old fashioned mm-hmm. schoolhouse learning, but yep. Some of the questions that are on this test, for example, under the heading of arithmetic. A man sold a watch for $180 and lost 16 2/3%. What was the cost of the watch? Now, of course, there was no Texas Instrument calculator in the kid's hand as he's or she is considering this question. Also, things like grammar. Adjectives have how many degrees of comparison? Compare good, wise, and beautiful. physiology. How does the liver compare in size with other glands in the human body? Where is it located? What does it secrete? Compare arteries and veins as to function. Where is the blood carried to be purified? On to civil government. Define the following forms of government: democracy, limited monarchy, absolute monarchy, republic. Give examples of each. History. During what wars were the following battles fought? Brandywine, Great Meadows, Lundy's Lane, Antietam, Buena Vista. Describe the Battle of Quebec. I mean, these questions, I dare say that a lot of us would struggle to answer them. What does that say about old-fashioned teaching, and if kids could learn that way and accrue a lot of knowledge, would that apply to anything today? Is that the stuff that, while it may impart a lot of knowledge or teach kids to absorb things, that for whatever reason, it's just not relevant to today's world?
Well, as we were joking, I said, you could ask Siri a lot of those questions and get an answer, right?
Right.
So some of it brings into question of what's important to know in this day and age as opposed to 1912. What was important to know? In 1912, our great industrialists like Andrew Carnegie and nine other men got behind and created the Group of Ten, who decided what our educational system would look like for the past 100, 125 years, based on an industrial economy of being able to do rote routine tasks the same way consistently day in and day out. And that was the type of worker they needed. So memorization, response and reply was a kind of and those type of questions were a way to kind of bake in those skills for the type of worker we needed in the past century. Take that forward to today, it's a totally different skill set that we need.
Remake learning is saying that type of learning, that type of teaching served its purpose, and now we need to move on to something
else.
And
I think we need to rethink it. We really trust our educators, and we trust the connections with our business community to have that dialogue and discussion and begin to really tinker and innovate on what we think are the types of skills and the best way to acquire those skills.
Let's go to Joe in Gibsonia. Hi, Joe. Welcome. Joe, are
Hi,
you
guys.
There? Yeah, go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to ask your guest if she had done any or plans to do any work with any of the trade unions in the area or any professionals from the fluid power industry. You know, I work in that field broadly, I guess, and there's a real shortage of you know, up-and-comers, I guess you could say, that are willing to learn and get dirty and do the dirty work. And that's, you know, they're really great jobs, and it's definitely something that's, you know, going to have a high demand for, because a lot of guys are getting old and retiring when they have to be replaced.
It's a great point,
yeah,
Joe. We're hearing that
point.
More and more.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're, you know, I think, again, we've taken a lot of these, what are the important skills we need? And have taken it out and really focused on college track academic jobs without thinking that there's a lot of jobs that still may not require that at the onset, but that you have to be able to skill up over time as those jobs change. But so that's what we're really excited about. We're working hopefully with Catalyst Connections, which is a manufacturing intermediary for the region, working with lots of regional manufacturers, offering apprenticeships. And connecting that trade group with the maker programs that are happening in the region to see how can we really look at the skills that are being taught in the maker education programs in K-12 to that apprenticeship opportunity of really raising the interest level of kids into the job of saying, hey, you're getting these experiences hands-on in high school that, you know, this is what advanced manufacturing looks like in the region and the type of job. So we'd love to try to do more, and we'd love to find more partnerships to connect with the trade unions.
We've been talking about Remake Learning, and our guest has been Ann Sekula. She is director of the Remake Learning Council. And so nice visiting with you.
Great. Thank you so much
for filling us in. And we've been speaking about the concept of Remake Learning and the Remake Learning Days in Pittsburgh and in the Pittsburgh region this week. WESA and our sister station WYEP are partners in the Remake Learning Days events. And in fact, we are hosting an event this Saturday from 10 till noon at the Community Broadcast Center, The Making of Radio. And there will be an onstage presentation where the tables will be turned on a WESA reporter, who will explain the process of how a story comes together, including the gathering of audio. I think Deanna Garcia is the person that has been lined up for this. Also on stage will be Matthew Spangler, the director of Reimagination Project, which helps spur the creativity of young musicians, including Bridget McCrum, who will perform some of her songs. There'll be a Q&A with the audience, and kids will have a chance to sign up and make their own radio, conduct their own interviews in our studios, and get a recorded copy of their interview. That's That's all happening at the Community Broadcast Center this Saturday from 10 till noon. Coming up, we'll tour the makerspaces and activities at the Avonworth School District in the North Hills. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.